Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the UK government is clearly signalling its future commitment to nuclear power, investing in the Sizewell C nuclear reactor. The EU is currently depending on nuclear power for about a quarter of its electricity. Some of that comes to Ireland through interconnectors. But where does that leave this country in terms of our own, the consistency of our stance on nuclear energy? Well, for more on this, I am joined by Dr. Paul Dean. He's Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy Futures at University College Cork. Good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Colin.
That first issue I mentioned there, the UK's commitment to invest a bit over 14 billion in Sizewell C. What does that signal in terms of the UK's future energy policy?
Yeah, look, nuclear power is always one of those things that either publicly or politically either captures the imagination or else frightens the public. I suppose from a political perspective, it offers, I suppose, the promise of clean and affordable and reliable electricity, but also from in some public circles, there's a great fear out of the elements coming from that. So what the UK are doing at the moment, they're looking to fund and build and construct their second newest nuclear power plant in a generation called Sizewell C on the east coast of the UK. Now, Colm, they've been talking about Sizewell C for about the last 10 or 15 years. Now, no matter what you're talking about, whether it's a house or a nuclear power plant, if you're talking about building a house 10 years ago, the cost today is going to have ballooned. And the same thing is what we're seeing now, we suppose, with Sizewell C. The cost estimates that were initially proposed a decade ago or 5 years ago have substantially increased. And so in many ways, that reflects, I suppose, inflation. It reflects the cost of doing business, the shortage of labour. But the UK government are pushing ahead with this project. Now, you mentioned the EU figures there. Nuclear power is still a pretty important electricity generation source within the UK. It generates about 15% of their electricity across the year. Now, to you and me, that might sound small, but actually that 15% is important because what nuclear does is that it offers reliable electricity on demand. The UK are doing very well also in terms of things like solar and offshore wind generation, but the challenge with those renewable resources is that they're really dependent on weather. Wind and solar are great if it's very windy, if it's very sunny. But what nuclear does, it offers the UK government the chance to fill those gaps if it's not very windy and not very sunny. So hence, they're pushing on with the Sizewell C project.
All right. And the better the UK does in terms of its provision of renewables and the like, the better Ireland does by proxy, because we import a lot of energy from the UK, but we also import nuclear energy. I mean, I suppose from a moral standpoint, people looking at this who are anti-nuclear, how do they square that stance?
Yeah, we have this kind of conflict, I suppose, policy conflict in Ireland around nuclear. Ireland is one of two European countries that have outlawed and banned nuclear power. That's the generation on our soil. The other country would be Austria. Now, but we do import large amounts of power from the UK. Now, it's impossible to figure out whether those electrons coming across the electricity, the cables, are nuclear or gas or renewables, but it would be safe to assume that we are importing significant amounts of nuclear electricity into Ireland. And many people would say that that's hypocritical, that it's wrong. But I suppose in many ways, if the goal of public policy was to avoid hypocrisy, the world would be a wonderful place. But it isn't. The goal of public policy is, I suppose, is to provide electricity that's affordable, that's reliable and secure. And importing electricity from the UK, be it nuclear, gas or renewables, allows Ireland, I suppose, to fulfil some element of that obligation.
Look, as you say, the safety issue is the one that people think about when they think about nuclear. Chernobyl stands out in people's minds, likewise Fukushima. And in Ireland, it's been associated, I suppose, with Sellafield as well. I mean, there is that issue of nuclear waste when it comes to nuclear power. So if Sizewell C is a major investment, what's going to happen to nuclear waste? Where will that be processed?
Yeah, look, and that's a very important point, Colm, and that has to be acknowledged. You know, to be honest, the nuclear waste problem is something that the industry haven't figured out yet. Some of that waste can be reprocessed and reduced, but a lot of it essentially just has to be buried on the ground. Now, that's putting it very crudely. It's a lot more sophisticated with that. But the nuclear waste from nuclear power stations is still an outlying issue. And in many ways, I suppose, environmental groups are split into two camps around nuclear. There are those who see, I suppose, the current climate crisis, which our climate and weather are now changing in very obvious and dangerous and disruptive ways, and they would see nuclear as the lesser of two evils. And then there's other camps that would say, look, the nuclear waste issue and the risk of proliferation is too high, and they're looking at things like renewables, they're looking at solar. I suppose my own personal view is I'm not a fan of nuclear myself, but when I look at what's coming down the line in terms of climate change and the dangerous elements there, I think we do have to keep our options open. Now, nuclear doesn't really make a lot of sense for countries like Ireland. Our power grid is far too small for very large power plants. So countries like Ireland really would be looking to maybe newer technologies that may or may not appear in 10 or 15 years' time. This is what we call small modular reactors. Again, it's a promise of a technology that may be beneficial in the future, but it's not an excuse to stop doing what we're doing in Ireland now with renewables.
The other argument against nuclear power sometimes, apart from the waste, is the carbon footprint of actually building the massive concrete casing for a nuclear reactor. I mean, what is the balance there?
Yeah, and when we look at the international literature, actually, Colm, we see that on the balance of things, that nuclear provides just as clean a source of power as wind or renewables. So it would be deemed a clean source of power from an environmental perspective. Now, that's looking at solely from a greenhouse gas pollution perspective. Many people would find that surprising, but from a climate perspective, nuclear is clean, but doesn't forego the outstanding waste issue. And interestingly, one of the things that we do down here in UCC, Colm, with our first year students, we kind of, when they come into energy engineering, we kind of do a little pulse survey and we take their attitude on nuclear. And one of the things that we have seen over the last number of years, particularly 5 or 10 years, is that younger people tend to be far more positively disposed to nuclear power, typically when we ask for a show of hands. Now, this isn't very scientific, by the way, it's just kind of a pulse survey. But 80% of students would show being in favor of having nuclear in Ireland. But actually, when we reframe the question and then ask how many people would live within 5 kilometres of a nuclear power plant, that drops to about 5%. So I think there's a challenge that, yes, many of us might want nuclear, might want renewables, but we don't always want the inconvenience of living near it. And I think that's kind of been played out to a certain degree in the UK as well at the moment.
Right. Any idea what's behind the generational thing? Is it that, you know, people who would be, I don't know, maybe over 40 years of age might have memories of Chernobyl, and people older than that might remember older nuclear accidents. Is it that, or, you know, is it
yeah,
people weighing up the balance of energy sources and climate change?
Yeah, no, I think it is that, Colm. I think it is that social memory has faded. You know, if you're of a certain generation, I remember growing up as a kid, just, you know, Chernobyl was in the national vernacular. There was a fear around us. I suppose we saw the connections with A.D. Roach and the Chernobyl projects, and there was the Fukushima disaster. Those social memories have faded fairly rapidly. And look, thanks be to God, there hasn't been any major nuclear incidents since. And I think that erosion of nuclear, of that faded memory, I suppose, has allowed that younger generation, I suppose, to have a more open view to nuclear energy and a more, I suppose, safer consideration of what it might offer the future.
Right. I suppose that's a kind of a microcosm of the debate between Europe's two biggest economies, France and Germany. Germany, that element of, I suppose you might call it, folk memory of nuclear disasters, has informed its nuclear policy, whereas France has taken a different approach.
Exactly, you know, and like for that small part, from a global perspective, that small part of Central Europe has very divergent views on nuclear power. And I suppose the irony of it, actually, Colm, is that it both kind of stems from the green movements. The green movement in Germany in the 1780s really orientated itself away from nuclear power, driven and really amplified, I suppose, by the Chernobyl disaster. And Germany has plans to shut down now most of its nuclear reactors in a very short period. Whereas just across the border in France, there is a very strong social social support and political support for nuclear power plants. About 80% of France's electricity is today generated from nuclear power. If anyone, if any listeners have been in France over the summer on a holiday, they would probably have driven very closely past a nuclear power station. In France, there's a lot of trust in the government in terms of dealing with nuclear. There's a lot of transparency, whereas just across the border in Germany, it's the complete opposite. So Germany are really planning to close down most of their nuclear and go heavy on renewables, whereas the French are going strong on nuclear with some renewables. But I think the need, right, the challenge for France going into the future is maintaining the current nuclear capacity rather than adding additional new capacity.
And did the Russian invasion of Ukraine change the debate in Germany at all when they looked at, you know, the price of gas and the need for cheaper energy sources, both for European energy security, but also, you know, the price of energy in the consumer's pocket?
Yeah, in many ways, so it crystallized a move away from nuclear because there was fears around, I suppose, attacks on the nuclear, existing nuclear facilities in Ukraine, which again, I suppose, fed into the narrative of the fears around Chernobyl. So it didn't drive Germany back towards nuclear, but in many ways, it kind of accelerated the move away from nuclear. Now, Germany is still very heavily reliant on things like natural gas, on lignite, which is a form of coal. But what we did see Germany do, what other member states haven't really done during the Ukrainian crisis, was really put the foot down in terms of building things like wind and solar, and they have been quite successful in that. So whereas France have really kind of bedded down and doubled down on their need for nuclear power plants. So again, I think we'll see those two different perspectives endure and remain. From a climate perspective, they're both very positive because they offer the possibility of low carbon power, but the risks have to be acknowledged for nuclear. The risk of nuclear proliferation and the waste issue is still outstanding. That's something that industry really needs to get to grips with if this is truly to be a sustainable and safe technology.
All right. And, you know, as you say, the assessment of that evidence of the spike in gas prices after Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, how it was assessed and how it was assessed in France and Germany respectively, is seen through the prism of what their attitude was to nuclear power more generally. So it brings us back to Ireland. You mentioned there new technologies like modular nuclear reactors. Where is that at? How soon could it be rolled out? And has any debate started about that in Ireland as yet?
Yeah, Colm, look, it's a very good question. It's often a very topical question. There is an ongoing debate, I suppose, in Ireland around the need for nuclear. And again, it's really framed around this need for a new nuclear technology, small modular reactors. In many ways, it's like trying to solve the housing crisis with modular homes. You build these things off-site and you drop them into place. And the idea there from a nuclear perspective is that this would be safer and more cost-efficient, that you would build small modular reactors in off-site locations and you bring them or ship them to Ireland and put them in place. So it sounds very appealing, sounds very compelling. The challenge is that it's not a commercial technology that's available today. There are some prototypes out there on military submarines and aircraft, but the military's risk profile is very different to a public risk profile, and the cost profiles are very different as well. It's probably something that's probably 10 or 15 years away. And again, my view would be that it's something we should keep our minds open to assessing if it does become available, but it should not be used as an excuse to stop the development of resources that we know deliver and that are competitive today. And that's our wind and our solar in Ireland. These are technologies that are commercially available. We can build them. We can do it. There is a very strong issue with visual impact and environmental impact that needs to be acknowledged and carefully considered. But for Ireland, for our pathway to move to do our elements in terms of moving away from fossil fuels, the obvious ones at the moment are really our renewables. That's our greatest strength. And if something does come on the line within 10 or 15 years for new nuclear technology, we can consider it, but it shouldn't be used as an excuse to delay or even stop what we're doing today.
Okay, Dr. Paul Dean, Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy at University College Cork. Thanks very much for joining us on that. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about childhood vaccines and the rate of uptake with GP Maura Finn. You can send any questions into us, WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32, or you can text us on 51551.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.